Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mike Hawk. Join me every Thursday at 1 p.m. exclusively on the Odyssey app as we go live with Odyssey. Join in on the action as we cover interesting facts, top 10 lists, and some fun new games. Follow the Men's Room page on the Odyssey app and join in all the fun Thursday afternoons at 1.
Some of these poverty meals actually sound kind of delicious to me, as far as the red list goes. Lasagna, one of my favorite meals.
Absolutely.
That's on the list.
Yes.
Red beans and rice,
fine with it.
Or chili night, I always like.
I enjoy chili.
In West Virginia, it was very common to put chili on top of macaroni. So, like, just like the macaroni you would use for macaroni and cheese, you put chili on top of that, then some cheese. Totino's pizza rolls.
Come on. I mean,
one of my favorites of all time. There you go, the hamburger helper.
When's the last time you had a pizza roll?
It's been a while.
Not too long, probably within the last year.
They're in my freezer.
Yeah, I just never buy them.
Well, they now have a Philly cheesesteak pizza roll. Which I saw that, I was like, oh, come on now. If it's in a roll, I'll try it. Cheese quesadilla. I was not of the quesadilla generation because my parents did not bring home tortillas very often. When they did, it was all at El Paso, and it was in a taco packet.
Right.
And they were the hard
shells. With the ground beef, yeah.
Burris and Sutton and I had a quesadilla maker. We ate quesadillas all the time.
I still enjoy quesadilla. My kids love quesadillas. Like, if it's poverty, good.
Right. You know what? You're right. I'll still make them on the stovetop sometimes when I have extra tortillas left over.
Cereal or oatmeal makes the list. Yeah. Condiment sandwiches. Mayo on toast, mustard on toast, or ketchup on white bread.
Mayonnaise sandwich.
Ooh, God. Pasta with white cottage cheese and caramelized onion topped with butter and salt. Egg drop soup, which I normally like. That would have been a delicacy for me. Lentil rice casserole.
No, thank you.
Dried lentils, rice, salt, water, and seasoning in a casserole dish. Bake for 90 minutes.
I'm coming around to lentils.
I'm sure it's not awful, but that is not something I would want to eat.
Grilled cheese and tomato soup. Nothing wrong with the grilled cheese, but the tomato soup, I'm not into that.
That's like super hip now.
What, grilled cheese and tomato soup?
I've been to weddings where you get a little triangle of grilled cheese and a little thing of tomato soup.
Oh, yeah.
My question is, does anyone eat the tomato soup or is it strictly dipping?
It's a shot. It's basically a shot.
I'm with you. Look, I hate tomatoes for the most part, but I like tomato soup. Like, I don't actively drink it.
That was my dinner last night, was grilled cheese and tomato soup.
As cold as it was, though, that's a good call.
Yeah. Sip that soup when you're done.
Kraft box macaroni and cheese, maybe with a sliced hot dog mixed in. Top ramen and instant noodles. I'll make the list.
My mom always made a great sloppy Joe.
Nothing wrong with a sloppy Joe.
It's fine. Somebody here said, did anyone say sloppy Joes?
Or were you manwich people?
No, we never did manwich.
Oh.
This became a thing that I had never had manwich, and I've still got the can of manwich that Robin gave me.
You haven't made it yet?
Haven't made it yet, no.
Yeah, you got to
buy a new can.
Yeah, I would do that. What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROBIN.
I mean, manwich is kind of like canned tuna, though. Hey, check the date.
Yeah, you might be okay.
I think
it's got a good shelf life. But keep in mind, because of that, I don't know how old it was at the time it was purchased in the first place.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was probably you. Tell him, like, I never thought of manwich being, like, all fancy. But you're right. Like, I don't know. At my house, that's how we made them. But you're like, for other people, it's like, we never had that. It's like, well, how are you making sloppy joes?
We did manwich.
Ground beef and pork and beans.
Because my mother would make sloppy joes without manwich, and then no one would eat them. And then she did manwich, and we would eat them. So we became a manwich family.
Yeah. What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROBIN.
That's probably what happened to my house.
I mean, seriously. It's like, my mom will make sloppy joes, and it's like, I don't know about this. We made manwich for, like, Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Hola.
As a kid, we grew up eating soy sauce over regular spaghetti noodles, and we called that Chinese noodles.
We did the same thing in Virginia, and it was called yak. And then we looked it up, and yak is at least
a Virginia area food.
Right. In that part of Virginia, that's a thing.
And ketchup.
Yeah, we make soy sauce, ketchup, and then just spaghetti noodles. And it wasn't, it's not awful. It tastes exactly the way you think it's going to taste like. It tastes like condiments
mixed with
noodles.
Salt and sweet brought together with noodles.
Where was the sweet?
On a special night, we got to have scrambled eggs mixed in there.
Ooh. Okay.
And you guys were going for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
When do you eat it again?
I still eat it.
You still eat it? All
okay.
right.
All right. When you have a hankering for something like that, it's the same reason I bought the package of pizza rolls the last time I was in 7-Eleven whenever I did that. I was just like, man, I need some pizza rolls tonight. Yeah. I have the air fryer. I was like, I'm going to put those in there and see what happens, man. It was pretty top-notch.
Oh, yeah. No. That was like me eating that terrible Frito bean dip on Sunday.
Right.
You got a hanker ever. Mm-hmm. The guy was like, yeah, it's great. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a run.
So, Jason, based on the fact you're still willing to eat that, is there anything that you won't eat now?
Pretty much liver. Yeah, liver.
Right.
I almost feel like we should just take liver off the
list. It's
the
smell.
Like, of course.
I mean, if you like liver, that's a very select group of people that enjoy liver.
Yeah.
The same people who enjoy eating fried chicken livers seem to kind of fall into that. Like, if that's what you grew up on, you still have a palate for it. But if you did never liked it, no, I mean, it's just so...
I mean, you can... I just don't know that you would volunteer to.
I can't think of a more polarizing food... Other than cilantro.
Right.
As far as just like, oh, God, or oh, yeah. If you love it, you love it. I went over to when I went to my uncle's last time, he had some in his refrigerator. And it almost kept me, and he was getting ready to cook it.
Yeah.
It almost kept me from going into his refrigerator.
Right.
Because I could see it in the package with a clear, you know. And I'm like, oh, God.
What about liverwurst?
Oh, God.
My dad was on a liverwurst kick for about 3 years.
Liverwurst.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Because you'd have like bologna, liverwurst, and if they were feeling their financial situation, they get the Oscar Mayer salami as well.
I've never had that. I'd have to try.
The Oscar Mayer salami?
No, I've never had liverwurst.
I don't know how to explain it. I don't even know that it's good. It's just that it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. And you're right. It's like the most ghetto version of pate that there is.
I had some this summer. One of the couples at the house, the girl's from Philly, and she grew up in a house where her dad was a chef.
All right.
But she was like, I love liverwurst on a sandwich. And I was like, oh, I don't know. But I tried. I was like, that's not that bad.
What else did she, was there like, what condiments were on there or anything? Or do you remember?
I just ate some of it out of the pack.
The Ted way.
Yeah.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Julie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, my thing is definitely the 70s casseroles with peas. Disgusting.
Thank you.
And bologna. I will not eat bologna ever again.
Really? What happened with bologna?
No. I had it constantly as a kid. Just bologna, white bread, Miracle Whip.
You know, as I listen to people talk about what we all ate in the 70s, Julie, you're roughly mine and Miles' age. So it seems like, why were our grocery stores so big? Apparently, our parents only made like 4 freaking dishes for a decade.
See, Julie, with me, all those growing up sandwiches are still tolerable. Peanut butter and jelly, I love. I love a toasted peanut butter and jelly sandwich when you toast the bread. I love grilled cheese. I love a bologna sandwich. I love a ham sandwich. All those sandwiches that I had, I can still eat. So, like, I never got burned on them. But have you ever had fried bologna?
No.
I think this is the game changer you need to get back into the bologna world if you're going to try it.
Really?
With a slice of cheese on top.
Because you're dying to get back into the bologna world, aren't you?
Exactly.
I'm not sure if I am, but...
I mean, look, if you can go to some places like a good diner and get like thick cut, like fried bologna sandwich, like that is delicious.
Yeah. Julie, you know that bologna is just a hot dog in a bigger casing, right? It's the exact same mix of meat. So if you like hot dogs, you can't not like bologna.
No, it's totally different. I only buy beef hot dogs.
I agree with the bigger slices of pepperoni sucking compared to the smaller slices of pepperoni as far as the cupping ability of it when you cook it. But bologna is just a hot dog.
Is fried bologna just basically a grilled cheese with bologna inside?
But instead replace the cheese with bologna.
You can also literally just fry it and put it on bread.
Oh. Right.
Almost any deli meat or whatever. I don't know if I do it with turkey, but like I say, like we would do it with ham.
You fry ham.
You can even crisp up a little thing, if you have like salami, you buy a pack.
Oh my God.
Actually has fat, which helps.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's why when you get a hot Italian sub and they toast
the sandwich when they put it in the oven. And all of that meat gets good and crispy and the grease comes down on it. Fantastic.
Julie, of all the casseroles.
Well, what I was going to tell you, too, is when we had to eat those casseroles, we also had powdered milk that we had to drink with it.
I remember those guys. I remember the powdered milk.
Horrible.
What was your least favorite casserole? Because they all sucked to me, but some I hated more than others. What was the one where it's like, I'm obviously going to bed hungry tonight?
It would be anything with cream and mushroom soup.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
It didn't matter.
People are submitting some great recipes where you take a pot roast, you take cream of mushroom soup. But again, you're making pot roast. And to me,
sure,
pot roast, anything that you put in the oven for an extended period of time that involves a roast, it's going to be fantastic.
I think it's okay. I know people love
pot roast. Do you like pot roast?
It's fine.
I think it's fantastic.
It's okay.
Potatoes, carrots, onions. I dig on it, man.
But see, to me, I don't know. That's just like, it's all those earthy, you don't know, like potatoes, onions, fine. But with the pot roast, I would rather get something that actually drags out some flavor. Do you know what I mean?
I put beef broth in it last time I did it. Man,
that goes a long way.
A game changer.
I mean, look, I like pot roast, but I also have a weird soft spot in my heart for cooked carrot.
Yeah.
I like carrots in general, but like when they're cooked, and then like when I grew up, Miles was saying, at least two Sundays out of the month, you'd have pot roast.
Sure. Pasta was a big deal because it could feed 9 million people. And every single relative came over on Sunday at my grandmother's house to eat pasta. Not necessarily that many meatballs in the sauce.
Right.
Just pasta, sauce, and a salad that, no matter what, it had one kind of vinegar and oil dressing on it. You didn't have a choice.
That was it.
It was already on the salad. You scooped it in. You couldn't get Thousand Island. You couldn't get anything else. You had to eat that crappy-ass homemade Italian dressing.
Does anyone eat French or Russian dressing anymore? I feel like there was a moment.
Well, sandwiches, you like certain,
I know if I get a Reuben, yeah, but there was a time where, and look, I didn't eat salads, but my father begrudgingly would. My brother and my mother loved them, but I remember she'd put out like three different salad dressings. Standard Italian, but then they would have, Russian and then French. And I feel like
Russian is just an elevated version of French, correct?
I have no idea.
It's a darker color.
Well, there was like Russian, French, Catalina.
Yeah, Catalina was another one.
So I'm with you. That was, you know what's funny? Every time I go to a grocery store, I pay attention to try to see if I could see them. Still haven't found Peter Pan peanut butter, by the way.
Really?
But I'm with you. Like, it's very rare. Like, I've been a couple places that specifically, but they're like old school, like steakhouses that have Russian dressing.
But I mean, but just to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, do you have French dressing? I don't remember what French dressing tasted like. I just remember that I didn't hate it.
On a Reuben, it's great.
Okay.
If you have French, okay. Those dressings are basically designed for a wedge salad.
Okay.
So if you take a head of lettuce and cut it up into quarters,
That's
the kind of salad that those dressings do well in.
Those are the kinds of salads I like for my wife to get because she doesn't like blue cheese and she gives me half the bacon. Mm.
God, that's a great salad, Cobb. What's a poverty meal you never eat again and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, you got to take the blue cheese off, find you a Cobb salad.
Hell yeah. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. All right, so I'm going to start off with the one I won't eat. Hands down, hot dogs cut in half with ketchup and cheese baked in the oven.
That doesn't sound bad to me, though.
I ketchup on a hot dog to me is ridiculous, but are you talking just like American cheese?
Yeah, the Kraft slice.
Yeah.
Me too, because they have cheese stuffed hot dogs.
Now, what I would do, though, is I'd broil that hot dog because I'm fancy.
Yeah.
Mike, I swear to God, I used to do it all the time. We thought we were so big time if we broiled them instead of just, because we used to boil hot dogs when I grew up.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, if you do split a hot dog, it's pan fried is a great way to go on that, man.
Yep.
Just hold it down with a spatula and just let it sizzle.
We just never did. I'm a 10. If you had a hot dog, it was boiled. If it was summer, you'd get it on the grill. But if it wasn't summertime, that bad boy was dropped into a pot of water.
I think because West Virginia is chili, cheese, onions, and coleslaw on top. Mm-hmm. So they kind of did the hot dog that way and opened it and spatchcocked it because they put the chili, it kind of held everything together better in the bun. So it just gave it more to hold on
to. We ate so many boiled hot dogs, right? When I was back, it was the day of my dad's funeral. So afterwards, we have the thing afterwards at a brewery, like me and my brother and sister-in-law, we get this whole spread set up, yada, yada, yada. Well, it's the Smiths. So we're going to go to Cousin Tom's after that to watch Monday Night Football and have some more drinks. As soon as we get there, there's a bunch of leftover food. My cousin Tom comes around the corner. He's like, I'm boiling hot dogs. I was like, what? He's like, I don't know. It seems like we should eat like we were kids because we're here. If I was there, I was like, all right. If we boiled like a pack of hot dogs and sat there and ate them like crazy people.
Well, Jim, what will you still eat?
The one thing I'll still eat, even to this day, is hamburger mac and cheese.
Hamburger mac and cheese.
I don't know if I've ever... It's not the worst thing.
It sounds like a Hamburger Helper type meal.
But it's Hamburger Helper without Hamburger Helper, right? So you have Kraft macaroni and cheese, you have your ground beef, and you mix it together. It's basically the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, trust me, I have had meals that the hamburger was, in fact, the steak. So you would have a side of macaroni and cheese. Your actual hamburger without a bun, it was all peppered up, and then you would eat that with A1.
Yeah.
So, like, you cut that and you ate it like a Salisbury.
Because you didn't have bread. Exactly. That's what that night popped up.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
This is making me hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. Hello, Jake. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, the one that I won't eat anymore, and let me say, it's not because it tastes bad, but it's just because we had it so much growing up, was a freaking cup of...
The cup of noodles?
Yeah, a cup of noodles. Every day, it seemed like every day for middle school all the way through high school, we were having a cup of noodles for lunch, and I just refused to eat it to this day because of that.
Right there with you, Lipton. Because it was cheap, and they were readily available.
Those soups, whether you get Campbell's, whether you get Lipton, they are so salty. You forget how salty they are if you haven't had them in a while. You're like, oh, my God.
But I think cup of noodles is like that styrofoam cup you put the hot water in.
That's exactly what it is. Close the lid, wait, was it 3 minutes? And then I remember the one of my favorite things, and my brother ruined this for me, so I did not enjoy the peas being in there. Once again, peas showing up where they shouldn't be.
Had a couple petrified vegetables in there.
They did. I recognize the carrots. I recognize the peas, but those little yellow bits. Like, these are great. My brother's like, those are dehydrated scrambled eggs. Like,
That's basically, essentially, what camping food is.
Yeah.
It's all dehydrated things. If you have water and you're in the middle of nowhere, man, you just dump the bag in the water, and away you go. Something comes out.
What will you still eat?
So the one that I'll still eat is actually just a sugar sandwich, just white bread, butter, and sugar.
I've never heard of that.
How much sugar are you putting on here?
Not a ton. It's actually a spinoff of a Norwegian dish that my grandma used to make. She make what's called lesta, and it's just really, really thin tortilla with butter and sugar, and then you roll it up and kind of eat it like a burrito, basically.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, the truth is, basically, people eat cinnamon sugar toast.
Right.
It's just the untoasted version of that.
Have you noticed that there are no Norwegian restaurants in the area that people are clamoring to go to?
Yeah, but hey, there's nothing wrong with
Lessa. No, I'm just saying, you think in Ballard, you know what I mean? There's a huge-ass museum.
Sure.
If it's traditional and it's that good, you'd think you'd be able to go to someplace and get it, right?
You could probably go someplace and get it. You just can't find a Norwegian meal.
Right.
Like, we have this one thing. Like I said, it's like fish and chips out of England. You can go to an English pub and it is fine. And you can get lots of potatoes, but their food is god-awful to the point they know. They eat more Indian food in England than they eat English food, with the exception of fish and chips, because the food is god-awful, which is amazing. Yep. You're on an island. You are surrounded by fish, and it's still, they're just like, man, deep fry.
Yeah, got to.
We can't do anything else with this, just deep fry.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Breck. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So the food, I can't stand it, and I refuse to eat it ever since I was a little kid, was spaghetti. We grew up dirt poor, and we didn't even go to the grocery store. We got most of all our food from the food bank, and the ground beef would come in like these 10-pound logs. It would be like 60% ground beef, 40% fat, and we would get like these giant coffee can size of tomato sauce, and my mom couldn't cook with beans, so she just basically cook off the ground beef, scoop off a little fat, pour in the tomato sauce, overcook the noodles, and call it food. And we had that once for 3 or 3 to 6 months. I can't remember, but every night for dinner was just spaghetti. And man,
I prayed for
the weekends for my grandma's house.
I didn't eat it every night, but we ate. Kind of to your point, my mom was probably about as good of a cook as your mother, but we had spaghetti so much, which I understand because it was cheap, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we ate it so much that for probably 15 years of my life, I would not eat spaghetti.
All right, honestly,
I was the same way with peanut butter and jelly.
Really?
Like, I had it in lunch just constantly. So that was
peanut
one.
Peanut butter are awesome.
Yeah, but it took, there was years, like, in high school and stuff, I was like, I'm not eating them.
Right. Okay, so some hot woman asks you out on a date, and she wants to go to an Italian restaurant. What are you going to order?
Chicken parmesan.
All right.
Okay, good call. Yeah.
What's something you will still eat?
My kids love spaghetti. And I take them to Olive Garden and stuff. And I typically at Olive Garden, I get like the soup and salad, unlimited breadsticks meal. But like, if I go to a proper sit down place, well, first of all, I'm going to go to one that has pizza as well as pasta.
Okay. All right. Good call.
I got to pre-plan that. But if they don't have pizza, I typically go with the chicken parm because I just refuse to eat anything with noodles. I'm even on the fence with chow mein noodles half the time.
You're on the fence with chow mein. That's fair enough, man. What poverty meal you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
9.9 KISW. The men's room returns with Miles and Thrill.
What's the poverty meal? Will you never eat again? And which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
This one says, when I was a kid, there was a week where my little brother and I were left alone in the house with nothing to eat but a big jar of peanut butter. I haven't touched it since. That's sad. But I still eat prison casserole. Can you guess what prison casserole
is? I do not know what that is.
And I'm sure there's various methods of doing this, but in his case, drained ramen.
Okay.
A packet of mayonnaise.
Ooh.
Whatever vegetables and meat you can get your hands on. But you won't eat peanut butter. My God, man.
Maybe that's where your parents were that week.
And by the way, Ted, apparently you can find Peter Pan peanut butter at, what is it?
Grocery
outlets in Walmart.
Right. I'm sure you'll find a place. I'm just saying, I can't find it at the store I go to.
At the grocery store.
I have looked the last three times I've gone. I was like, let me check this.
Were you going to buy it if you found it?
No, don't.
I don't know.
Here, I'll be dead honest with you, okay? So if you do like peanut butter, and we have exposed you to the idea of Peter Pan peanut butter, but you do like peanut butter, don't buy it when you see it. It's a really terrible peanut butter. They used to say something like, picky moms pick Peter Pan peanut butter.
Listen. Right?
Now listen, there was Jif, there was Skippy. Maybe you like some of these old Naturel brand. Peter Pan peanut butter is awful.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find that crap. I almost said the other word. I'm going to go find that, and I'm going to buy it, all right? And I'll buy creamy for you schmoes because I know you don't eat crunchy peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
But I will buy four different kinds of peanut butter. Or whatever I can find, I will buy it. Look, and you can take it home because I can't have it in my house because I'll eat the entire jar. We will come in here during Ted's Meat and Potatoes. We will do a blind test. I'll take a piece of paper and cover up every single one of those.
I have zero doubt about this.
I'll cover up all the labels. I'll give you guys a small spoonful
of peanut butter, and you can rate them in the order of how much you like them. And we will figure out, because you know what? I don't know that I've ever had a peanut butter off. I don't know that if I like Jif, I like Skippy.
Those two you can tell, because Jif has a definitive taste. Skippy, not necessarily the taste, but the consistency of it. But I'll tell you, Peter Pan, I didn't like.
I'll buy the generic form of whatever, you know, QFC has, or Fred Meyer, if they've just got their own, you know,
and we just variety. Grew up with Jif. There was definitely times Peter Pan was in the house, because I could see his little logo.
He was showing up in the house, and I think my parents bought it because we were little kids, so they thought they were doing us a treat, right? You know, like, hey, man, it's Peter Pan, and we were excited to try it, but it tasted like crap.
The only one I'm not going to buy is Adams, because just...
You'll know Adams.
You know exactly
it's not bad, is. But you'll definitely know
so
Adams.
Like,
so what do you got? Skippy, Jif.
Skippy, Jif. I'll buy, like, the 365 peanut butter
when
or whatever.
When did Smuckers get into the peanut butter game? I thought they were just jealous.
It's ironic, though, that on all these pictures of these varieties of peanut butter, there is no Peter Pan peanut. Oh, there it is. So Peter Pan, for the most part, Jif, Skippy, and I'll buy a generic one. So we'll do four.
There you go.
I think I can find at least four different
kinds. Because I bet you the generic is made by either Skippy or Jif. I can tell you it's not made by Peter Pan. Peter Pan is
peanut butter. Reese's has peanut butter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
If I can find that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's a good poverty food.
All right.
We used to eat Hydrox.
The cookies.
Right.
But they were around before Oreos, which is the crazy thing.
Yeah, I just know in my family it was like a big deal. It was like you were either Team Oreo or Team Hydrox, and we always got Hydrox. I'm sure if I did a taste test, they probably taste pretty
You might
close.
Not be able to tell, right?
According to Bon Appetit.
Bon Appetit.
The magazine. Now, they did a blind taste test. I just Googled this, so we'll find out here real quick.
What do they say?
If I go in order here, the funkiest... Target Good and Gather creamy peanut butter, the earthiest Peter Pan creamy peanut butter, the least peanutty Skippy creamy peanut butter.
Yeah.
The best for baking, who cares? The Naturalesque, that's the Reese's Creasy creamy, and
Reese's
the most spoonable. But they don't say which one is the best. They're just saying as far
as so they serve
consistency,
different purposes.
Taste, and
what is your
guys'
go-to? If you go to the store, you need peanut butter, what are you getting?
Jif.
Yeah, whatever they got. Extra crunchy Skippy, probably, because they have an extra crunchy one, so I like that. What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
I just hate it, and I love peanuts, and I love peanut butter.
They should be separate.
I just don't want them together.
He just gets a jar of Mr. Peanuts.
I love peanuts, so...
Yeah. I like peanuts, but for some reason, when I want peanut butter, I just want its cream.
God, there's a lot of different
kinds. It's like, I don't want chunky ketchup.
No!
I want tomato smoothie.
That was the whole point of Heinz ketchup, anticipation. It took you a long
time. No, it's thick. It's not chunky.
All right, yes. Right. No chunky
ketchup. That's like, look, the family I grew up with, the Cattucci's, right? His mother. Yeah,
Maria?
Cachetta.
Oh, Cachetta.
They were very Italian.
Really?
She made probably the best sauce ever had in my life.
What?
Zero chunks, but it was very thick.
Right.
If that makes sense. So same thing with Heinz. They're like, yeah, it's thick.
Anticipation.
Right.
You're going to make fun of anticipation. You know what they should have said with Hans? Ready or not?
Yeah.
Hans is, Hans is thick. It's not as
what
thick.
What was the one? Was it Del Monte?
Oh, Del Monte's like water.
Yeah, that's
it's
the one. Like,
soup.
Ready or not, here we come.
Ketchup.
It's already on your bread.
But it's what I grew up with. So just like a lot of these things that we're talking about.
You've already used too much.
It brings
Del Monte.
It brings back the taste of youth. You know what I'm saying?
Don't turn it all the way upside down.
Oh, come on.
But why?
All right, I'm buying ketchup now. I am buying ketchup.
You don't have to
I am buying peanut butter.
You don't defend the Twinkie. You're like, yeah, as an adult, I don't like them.
Right.
So you grew up with that ketchup. You might not like it. Like, you know,
you might be right.
You
might be right. I might be like, this is garbage. I don't know.
Like
on our way.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff I liked as a child that I wouldn't eat now, and stuff I hated as a child that I absolutely love now.
Here's a comment. Miles, how do you feel about Adam's peanut butter with the oil on top? A little tip on that one. If you do buy Adam's peanut butter, which I have, keep the lid down. All the oil goes to basically the bottom.
So it has to fight back to the top.
So when you turn it over, all the oil's in the bottom, and it's easier to stir and mix in.
See, I don't want to have to stir my peanut butter. Maybe I'm just lazy.
It's a lot.
I just want to open the jar, pull that little foil lid off, get that good whiff of artificial peanut flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it right now. Most of the condiments that we eat are upside down in the refrigerator. It is as far as the squeezable sour creams, mayonnaises, ketchups, mustards. It's all bottom down.
I use it now when I'm washing dishes. Dawn makes one. Yep. You just leave it upside down and boom.
It's easier.
By the way, quick side note. Mayonnaise, I don't know what took you so long to get to the squeezable bottle game, but it's about goddamn.
No, sour cream is the one that is the best because that
love it.
That lasts at least 10 times longer than if you buy a tub of sour cream and you open it up and you knead it and it's got a green layer on top.
Yep.
At least if it's in that bag, you don't know that.
You know the one that tried and failed was relish. You guys ever seen the squeezable relish?
Yeah, they do it for picnics and hot dogs. They'll put it in a 3-pack with a mustard and ketchup. That way, if you're going to a picnic,
only place to use it because it fails every other time.
Is it too chunky?
Yes.
So if you blow a big thing out, then you're back to the dumb.
That's the whole thing. Is that they try to give you a bigger hole for the relish, but the problem is that it doesn't fall and congeal with the rest of it. So you got to hit pockets.
Right.
So you'll hit that air pocket, and then you'll puff out too much, and it'll explode all over.
Dude,
the place.
You talk about squeezable mayonnaise. When I graduated from high school, we had 6 foot up. But I remember we had the squeezable mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And nobody had seen it.
It's a game changer, man.
I still picture Bernie to this day just being like, oh my God, Teddy, look, you can put some on every bite. And I mean, it like blew our mind that like we could squeeze out mayonnaise.
Just a tiny little dog.
My God.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
I guess some people are excited with the invention of the iPhone touchable screen. We're like, squeezable mayonnaise, goddammit.
Oh, yeah.
Life changing. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Okay, a couple of things, like real fast. One that I don't want to eat anymore is the cold bologna and American cheese sandwich on white bread.
Yeah.
I had it too many times when I was a kid. It ruined it for me. Like Ted, though, I do like bologna when it's been grilled.
All right.
Yeah.
And then put on toast or whatever.
Now, listen, the only reason I don't have sympathy for you, because I definitely grew up with the bologna and American cheese sandwiches, but on wheat bread, man, I killed to have it on white bread. Seriously.
Yeah, I couldn't go for that wheat bread crap. But the other thing was, this is a British thing that my mom used to do all the time when we were kids or when I was young. It's beans on toast.
Is that an English? Yeah,
it's
an
not
English
bad,
thing.
Man.
That's a breakfast staple, isn't it, for the most part?
Well, it's kind of the thing is, though, you can't. I've never tried it with American baked beans. I only get the Heinz baked beans that are imported from England.
Yeah, what is the difference between, flavor-wise, between baked beans and the ones from...
Well, like, the Heinz ones from England say that it's in a tomato sauce, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I think that's the difference, that they don't really have any seasonings and stuff other than that. Now, they have mixed it up where you can get, I've seen now they have curry baked beans.
All right.
So it's like baked beans with the curry powder in it.
But in England,
that's not bad.
Yeah, you're going to crush that. I will say this, first time I went to London, I got the traditional English breakfast, brekkie, because I'm like, why not, right?
Black pudding.
The whatever peas, whatever, the mushy peas, looks delicious. So I tried it knowing that it's just going to taste like mushy peas. It tastes like mushy peas. But
that shouldn't have been on your breakfast,
but
though.
It was just a little
I know, but traditionally it would be beans on toast, some rashers, a couple sausages, the puddings, and then the fried eggs and tomatoes.
I did not get fried eggs, but I did get the beans on toast, and it's like, because I'm making fun of it, and I'm like, this is actually good. It's literally just beans on toast.
I mean,
you can't go wrong.
I always wonder, because it is in the English food section when you go to the grocery store.
Yeah, they do breakfast pretty well. I'll give them that. Like, you won't find a lot of English dinners.
Right.
But the English breakfast, pretty good.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
I told you I had a buddy. We used to go watch soccer together, and we were in an Irish pub, one that me and you loved.
Okay.
And he's talking about the puddings. He's like, God, I love them. And I was like, you know what that is, black pudding.
Did he not know?
He had no idea.
No,
but it was one of those, he's like, I can't believe you ruined this for me. Like, you could still eat it.
It tastes exactly the same.
Right. Yeah.
And now it's in your head.
Well, you're eating blood.
Yeah. But delicious blood prepared right. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, it's not just blood, it also has fat.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when the steak kind of bleeds on the plate.
It's the same thing.
You don't mind, do you?
Yeah. Hello, Katie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. So, growing up, whenever I was homesick or wasn't feeling well, my mom would make milk toast.
What exactly is milk toast, other than how I describe some people?
Well, it is kind of bland. So, it's toast that you toasted, and she would scald milk and add sugar to it and pour it over the milk. And when you were sick, it was really bland, and it didn't upset your stomach, but it was sweet, and it was okay.
Hmm. I mean, it doesn't sound awful.
Would you eat it again to try it, to make sure that you're correct on this?
You know, I have, like, when I'm really sick and my stomach's upset or I haven't eaten in a couple days because I'm sick and I know I need to eat something, I will bust out the milk toast.
See, I'll just go to McDonald's. McDonald's makes me feel better. I'm happy.
Now, what is something that you will not eat from childhood?
Okay, here's two for you. My dad was a meat and potatoes kind of guy. Every meal had to have potatoes and meat. And I refuse to eat liver and onions.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's quite all right.
You're not alone.
Yeah, Mike and I were talking about this during the break because he was like, I want to try it. I was like, look, listen, like, my dad loved it, but like, my mom would very rarely make it because the whole house reeked.
Yeah.
But to this day, I struggle with intestines, specifically liver.
Well, see, like, my grandmother, on my mother's side, anytime you went to visit her, first of all, like I said, the secret ingredient to every meal she made, apparently, cigarette ash. Dude, she's one of those people that have to say them in her mouth. She'd just be talking to you, and you're watching it bounce up and down, and you never physically witnessed her ash a cigarette. Like, in my memory, it never happened. So then the ash would get real long and eventually just break off into whatever she's stirring, right? And just kind of let it go, because that's the kind of food you're going to eat. But
every once in a while, flavor,
she would fire up chitlins. And it's just, we would get there, you got suitcases, you open the door, and I can't explain the smell of chitlins. If you have smelled cooking chitlins, then you know what it smells like. If you don't, I don't know the words in the English language.
Is it a disgusting smell?
Yeah. It's disgusting, but it's also, it's like thick and tangy.
What, you know what I mean? What is that?
What, chitlins?
Yeah.
The pig intestines.
Ugh.
I mean,
you never seen what they look like?
I never knew what they looked like.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's it.
Oh, God.
So,
oh, God. Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Oh, God.
So they smelled like what they looked like.
Oh.
You've never seen them before.
Oh, I'd rather lick a man's bare butt.
Right.
My God.
You talked about having them before.
No, I've never had chitlins.
Oh, would you try them now? Now that you know what they are.
No.
Yeah, so you cook them up like that.
I'm not even sure.
Soupy kind of.
Where would they be available?
In Seattle?
Or just anywhere in general. Like, where can I travel? I realize that.
Oh, man, I'm not positive.
I just neighborhood or two.
Is this like an ID thing, maybe? Could it be?
Possibly.
It's a soul food thing.
The ID probably would not call them chitlins. They'd probably call them something else, but I'm sure you'd find them there. Right.
All right.
But,
boy, is that something.
I think you head a little north of the ID.
Oh, God.
You got to fight.
Well, that's the deal. I mean, like, chitlins never got. Like, people are like, I love soul food. Like, yeah. You like chicken and waffles, my man.
Right. You like cornbread. And grits,
somebody
brother.
This is a good idea. They slathered it in hot sauce. Maybe it's like eating gefilte fish. You just got to cover it in horseradish.
Miles, I'll put it this way. I've never seen chitlins or hog maws not in a styrofoam cup.
Yeah. Oh.
Huh.
Yeah, he's not kidding. Seriously. Like, you got it for takeout or something.
Could
like
you
that.
Get it like on a street food in D.C., you mean?
Yeah, there's a bunch of places you get them.
And what does it smell like?
Again,
when they're cooking, it smells awful.
Right. Keep in mind, you're cooking pig intestines. So the way you pick.
Oh, God.
Right. But imagine adding a little vinegar to that smell, stuff like that. Right. So all it does, vinegar makes it more pungent. And you realize stink of the pig intestines gets like deeper into your nose.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's a poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? I just got a pee shiver. 206-803-ROCK.
Oh, God. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it, Hawaiian?
Hola.
Hey, so a good segue with the pigs. My mom would do the pickled pig feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like them?
No, God, that's awful. No, it's disgusting.
Okay.
No, but two of the same food. One is good, one not so good. Growing up in Hawaii, we had musubis, which is like sushi, but with instead of fish, fried spam, right?
Yeah, I've seen that before. There's actually places in town that do that. A spam roll.
Like, cheap, super easy.
The musubi?
When Dad was making school lunch, and he had a rough night the night previous, we got cold spam sandwiches.
Just cold.
So he was too hung. Yeah, like he was too hungover and lazy to fry it up.
Exactly. Yeah.
But see that's a dad's way. I fed the kids.
Damn, man.
I'd at least fry it up for him.
I mean,
come on, Dad.
Well, but the unboiled egg didn't help either.
Unboiled.
What, did you put a raw-ass egg in there?
Not raw, but not cooked, not boiled.
Okay,
so
I got you.
That open on the, it was a rough. Somebody was having a rough day. I don't know if it was worse than mine or what.
Well, I'm trying to think. Could I deal with it if I grew up in Hawaii?
Yeah, I mean,
if that's a trade-off.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I, to this day, like, I just made some musubi the other day. Like, it's delicious. But, like, I have my wife cut the spam before it gets to the fried part.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, cold spam on bread, brother, is not... by the way, Ted, you can get chitlins at Alpha's in Kent.
Mm. All right.
There'll be a line around the block.
And Spam's got a ton of different flavors, too. It's not just original Spam now. They got a light, they got a bacon.
They got a bacon flavor. Okay. They was here at work, what, a year ago. It's still sitting in my cabinet.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? We got your emails coming up next from the Men's Room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!